It's Thursday, November 26th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a part of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey everyone, happy Thanksgiving. Hope everyone had plenty to eat. And yes, as promised, I'm going to put out a show. Yes, I am. And you're here. So strap in, because we got a great show for you tonight. And one thing it's going to be for sure, you're going to get to experience something new tonight. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central Podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Sign up for our newsletter. The newsletter will get you the show notes delivered directly to the inbox. Basically, everything I'm going to talk about tonight, all of the listener-submitted articles will go, and articles that I've got for you will go into the show notes, and then you get the email blast directly to your inbox. And then as you're listening to the show, no matter if you're on your computer or driving around, wherever you may be, you'll always have the links to the show. So make sure you get signed up for that. You can find that link, of course, at geeknewscentral.com as well. Of course, I want to welcome all of our new listeners to the show. We've seen some explosive growth of the podcast over here over the last 3 to 4 months, and the growth continues. All of you that are listening on Blackberries, hey, thanks for subscribing. Of course, got a lot of new Android listeners as well. So lots of devices being used to access the show, which is pretty exciting. And thanks for being here. Of course, I want to give a strong welcome to all of our Ohana. Those of you that have been longtime, you know, basically listeners of the show, thanks for being part of the family here. And you know, as it is Thanksgiving Day, and yes, my belly is full of turkey stuffing, gravy, casserole, green string bean casseroles, all kinds of stuff, which I all cooked. I want to give thanks to all of you for continuing to support the show and being part of the Ohana, because really without you, this show would not be possible. And your ongoing support of the sponsors, your ongoing support of sending me comments and feedback on the show is greatly appreciated. Got a few people that have tuned in on Ustream tonight. Thanks for hanging out with me and taking a little time out of your Thanksgiving day to watch the show. We appreciate that as well. I want to welcome listeners from 160 countries worldwide. And while I know it's Thanksgiving here in the United States, I know many of you in different countries have different holidays upon which you give thanks. And but this is a big one for us. And it's a kind of a holiday here in the United States that everyone can participate in, no matter what your religious beliefs are. It's one of those agnostic type of holidays that everyone enjoys. We've got a lot of stuff going on. Podcast Awards will close for voting on the 30th. And matter of fact, I will be in an airplane headed towards the great state of Texas when voting closes. I fly out to I'll be in Texas, I think, already by the time it gets shut down. I actually fly out Saturday night, and I get in there Sunday morning, and then I have meetings all week. There will be two shows from Texas this week, and going to get everything packed up for the road show kit. And they're going to be kind of sad leaving the studio here, because I've spent the last really couple of days refining everything that I've done and getting things ready for the Podcast Awards, which right now are tentatively planned on December 12th, the same day that I'm going to do the 24-hour podcast. It'll be kind of fun to combine that in. And so we're still looking, basically I've kind of opened up the door here for people to submit to me if they want to be part of the 24-hour podcast, if they want to come on. I hope that you'll mark it in your calendar to come and really watch and listen. It's a lot of fun. Now, there's been a few of you that have hung the entire time during the previous 24-hour podcast. This is the third annual, and the 13th is my son's birthday, so I have I'll get done with the show at 7 a.m. Here, Hawaiian Standard Time on the 13th, and then roll right into happy birthday party. So I'm sure I'm going to be a wreck by the time Sunday afternoon rolls around. Hey, we still have a day left on the podcastmadness.com. Make sure you go over to podcastmadness.com. Enter the keyword Artesian. That will get you entered for some cool prizes over there. Artesian is the code word at podcastmadness.com. Definitely check that out. Hey, I want to talk just a little bit about Twitter. And I had talked about in some previous shows to ask what you guys would think about me taking advertising and actually advertising for some vendors on Twitter. And I got some mixed feedback. Ultimately, I decided not to take the deal, and I put a blog post up today, and a lot of my reason why. The advertising deal was significant. It would have, before it was all over, it would have went into just a little over $10,000 for really 4 or 5 days worth of work, and most people are probably calling me nuts for walking away from that. But I really, you know, besides the simple fact that the two vendors that approached me, I did not have a current relationship with. And the product line, while it matched those of you that follow me on Twitter, you know, in the show, you guys know there's advertisers in the show. You guys know that I have a relationship with the advertisers. You guys know that I stand behind the product. You know that really it's a... It's a vendor, producer, listener partnership. And you guys have been very good supporters of the sponsors of the show over the past 5 years. So in order to bring on a new advertiser, my thought was, in any instance, that I would want to have some time to develop a relationship and figure out which products that I was going to support from the vendor, stuff that I could get behind. The way the ad deals were essentially set up is they were going to just send me a bunch of tweets that I would cut and paste into Twitter and put up. And I would have to, there was a couple other elements, and I don't want to reveal too much because you guys will figure out who it is, but or who they are, the two companies. But ultimately, I decided not to because there really wasn't that relationship there. And I wasn't for sure what I was going to get to present to you guys. It's really tough to walk away from that kind of money, but at the same point, 5,000 followers, while it's not a huge number, it's not a small number either. And at the same time, you guys know what to expect from me when I'm tweeting about stuff. You guys know what to expect from me when I'm on the show. So my thought process, though, was really I was bamboozled in the simple fact that why would a vendor be willing to pay essentially a dollar a Twitter follower for me to advertise to them over a 4 or 5 day period, a couple of tweets a day? Why would they be willing to pay a dollar a listener, yet they would be unwilling to come to this show? This show has grown. We're over 150K right now, 150,000 listeners to the show. The video portion of the show is obviously, you know, just a minor 99.9999% of you listen to the show. And my thought process was, why would they advertise on Twitter, yet where the relationship I have with you guys the strongest is right here within this show? So I even said to the vendor, I said, listen, you know, what you're willing to pay me to do the Twitter advertising, you know, we could do something really cool for the podcast in the same amount of time, a couple of shows, and it would be great money, and we'd be able to, you know, I'd be able to embellish just like I am right now, and I'd be able to embellish about the, you know, the particular sponsorship and give you guys really some stuff. And I could, you know, there would be a good ROI because I know you guys would react because whatever I would share with you would be of value. You know, it would be something I would say, that's cool. Give me a deal I can give these guys that they can't get anywhere else. Boom, you're off and running. And they just didn't get it. They're so wanting to advertise in the latest and coolest thing that they ignore some of the best social media aspects in this space. So it wasn't specifically because they wouldn't advertise on this show, but it was the pure fact that there really wasn't time to develop a relationship. Because I would basically had worked real hard to talk about what was going on with the vendor in the show, got into some specifics instead of trying to cover that in 140 characters. So it is what it is. My decision is what it was, and I hope you guys understand that. I don't know if my wife does particularly for walking away from that. But, I hope my blog post explains it. I hope you go back through and read it and comment on it. Because I wish vendors would wake up and understand the relationships that, you know, from my perspective, working, being the CEO of Raw Voices, we have 5,000 podcasters over there. They have all these great relationships with tens of millions of listeners. And we can connect in a much more intimate way this way than through Twitter. I miss 95% of the tweets people make. You know, I try to search for keywords and stuff like that, but how many of you would even have seen it? I don't think many would have. So what would be the ROI? Or were they just wanting to get the SEO results for search engine optimization? I don't know. I don't fully understand it. But anyway, that is the background for why I didn't take the Twitter advertising. I told you I'd tell you a little more about it. I'm not going to reveal who the companies were. You know, I'd love to have a better relationship with those two companies. I'd love to have them come on and be a sponsor here, you know, and we do some real cool work. I think we could do some cool work together. So I'll leave that door open. And if the media buyer is listening, I hope you guys did great on your Twitter campaign. But let's talk. Let's talk about you coming in and you know, reaching this audience that's here. Okay, let's talk a little bit about my DSL and Clear situation. As I talked about on the last show, the DSL modem showed up. I was getting great 3 megs, 3.5 megs down, 1 meg up, even though they told me I was going to get 7. It's steady. It's rock hard. It's there. Well, lo and behold, at the same time, my new Clear modem showed up. I plugged it in. I got it set up. And tonight I'm actually running it on the backup stream, kind of watching what's going on. And it's already, and here we are. I'm on the new Clear 4G, not 4G, the WiMAX. I got 5 bars. In other words, I got maximum signal strength. And the video is still dropping out. So I got 5 bars on the Clear. And I did a test. I was getting just about 4.5 down, 4.5 megs down with a good solid maybe 800 kilobits per second up. And the Clear connection's, again, dropping out. I can see it frame freezing every once in a while on the side. And so anyway, I'll play with this a little more. One of them's going to go. And I have a feeling at this point the Clear's going to go. I think that's what's going to happen. So anyway, that's what's going on there. All right, let's talk just a little bit about Skyposaurus. And I'm going to bring up a new view for those of you that are on Ustream. And you guys are going to see something new in the background. Well, what you're seeing in the background is the Skyposaurus about 90% done. And of course, Skyposaurus is a word that Leo Laporte has cloned. I am freely stealing it, but he gets full credit for it. I basically built the boxes based on his design. And what's going to happen during the 24-hour podcast and podcast awards is that you see the two screens, right, in the background. Well, I can do something even more cool. during the podcast awards, we're going to be able to have people call in. Those both of those boxes have their own Skype account, and I'll be announcing those at some point here in the very near future. And you probably can find them if you just look on Skype. But anyway, and I don't think I've got them audio muted. Someone will probably call me. But I can actually flip into, I can bring up video on those monitors. Now, I'll go ahead and flip to it. Those of you on Ustream can actually see the monitor. Now, that's Skype 1. And then I can actually flip to Skype 2. And this is Skype, that's Skype 1. And then this is Skype 2. So I got both monitors tied in. And when we are doing the podcast awards, I can basically take the overlay down. And I'll go full screen when people call in, and you guys will be able to see the folks that have won the specific categories. It's going to be really cool, and we're going to be able to do this for events where I actually have like our roundtable. And in the future, maybe we'll have people call in during the show. But anyway, those are tied. Those two machines are tied to the DSL line. They're dedicated. That's what that DSL line is dedicated to. And pretty cool switching between those two computers. Now, if I want to bring them back to, here, you guys can see them in the background from camera 3. So I'm pretty stoked about the setup and how it's looking. And, really, I can have two people. And I completely stole this from Twit, okay? 100%. All right? So Leo Laporte gets 100% credit. Good on him for coming up with this idea because it was pure genius. Now, I only did a half version. Leo did a full version. And really what this is, it's made up of they're little mini computers. They're about this big. Use a little Atom processor in them. They have a S-Video out, which I send over to the TriCaster. And then I have a couple of El Cheapo. I get the cheapest monitors I could buy. I think they were $80 a piece. And what cost the most in the whole rig was the stand that would hold two monitors. So anyway, that's kind of what's going on. Those of you that are on the audio portion, you're going to get to enjoy this a lot more when we get into the actual 24-hour podcast, and we'll be able to bring guests in, and you'll be able to see them. It'll add a new dynamic to the 24-hour show. But generally on this show, they won't be used too much. Okay, let's go ahead and talk a little bit. I got I'm going real long here on my opening stuff, but it's Thanksgiving, so, indulge me a little bit here. I think, never mind. Those of you on video just saw what I just did. On the video intro contest, I may have some takers on this. I haven't seen a product yet, but if you want to get involved in my video intro contest, you need to get busy because I'm looking for a 41-second video intro put to the music that we use for the regular GNC intro. If you want the intro, I'll email it to you, geeknews@gmail.com. I'm going to give away a prize with a value no less than $250. So we'll keep you advised there. But email me at geeknews@gmail.com if you want to get involved in the video intro contest. CS 2010, lots of stuff still moving there. Still, once again, kind of trying to work through getting my registration at PepCom for digital experience. But otherwise, we're all locked and loaded. Actually, we've made a little bit of a change. Tom Newman from the Fogview podcast, he's going to be coming out and working with the team. So we've got our whole team made up. We've got everybody registered, hotel rooms all set up. So we're totally stoked to be ready to move forward with the event in January. Let's talk a little bit about my go to my PC 3 month subscription. I've gotten a number of entries, but I had 4 or 5 people email me and say, Todd, wait. I just heard about this. Let me go check it. So here's the deal. I'm not going to wait any longer than the next show. Okay, so you got this weekend to get your entries in. All you got to do is go to mypc.com/podcast, download a 30-day trial. You don't have to, or sign up for a 30-day trial. You don't have to put a credit card in or anything. Use the application. And, being at Thanksgiving and people always want you to do tech support, this is kind of a way to do it, okay? So when you get home, if you need to help someone out, so try that out with Go to My PC and give it a run. Again, on Tuesday, we'll give our 3-month a free subscription out to that to one of our listeners. Let's take care of a few bills here, and then we'll get into the regular content tonight. Of course, GoDaddy.com, longtime sponsor of the show here. And if you're looking for servers, if you're looking for virtual dedicated servers, if you're looking for domain names, shared hosting accounts, you're looking for SSL certificates, whatever it may be, GoDaddy.com really has what you need. They're the best place to go for online tools and services of all types. They have a wide variety of products and services over there. But when you get to that checkout counter, don't forget your geek here at Geek News Central, because you can use the code GEEK5 and save 15% on orders $20 or more. Of course, you can use the code TODD, and that will get you 10% off on orders. And TODD20 will get you 20% off on one-year shared hosting accounts. I was trying to flip a screen there. And ComSale will get you 749.com's renewals or new ones or new registrations. So all the promo codes are at geeknewscentral.com, so definitely check that out. Of course, as well, we want to thank GoToMeeting. You know, GoToMeeting is the longtime sponsor here at the show, and really the feature set in GoToMeeting is simply amazing. I use it on a daily basis. It's not there isn't a day that goes by generally that I don't use the application two or three times. And and when you're working from home and you're doing a lot of business and you're doing a lot of calls like I do, I don't have to get up and get in a car. I don't have to drive across town. I don't have to fly anywhere. But I can start meetings with a single click. It's available. I can use it on my Mac if I'm on Mac. So that's cool. You can change presenters. So if you've got more than one person on the call, I was on a conference call on Friday, and there was three of us, and basically kind of halfway through the call, the one person on the call said, "Well, Todd, I'm going to go ahead and show you a partial piece of a spreadsheet, and I'm getting it narrowed down so there's no conflict of, basically showing me information that was proprietary." And they clicked into it and showed me a portion of the other person's screen, which was cool. And so it was kind of fun to be able to do that. True 24-bit color chat functions, record and playback, so I can record stuff on if I want to. It automatically integrates into Microsoft Outlook. There's some cool drawing tools. I like their little pen tool to mark up drawings. It's kind of like, marking up stuff. And yes, with my penmanship, marking up stuff is fun. It includes phone conferencing and voice IP. You can get a free 30-day demo. It's a meeting. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for a free trial. And grab one of those trials. Check it out. And we definitely appreciate GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here. All right, let me go ahead and look through my list, and then I'll bust into the regular content for tonight. And those of you that are on Ustream, got the chat room buried. So if you're making any comments in the chat room, I'll get to you at the end of the show. Matter of fact, hang out at the end of the show and we can chat just about really anything. And for the rest of the Ohana, hey, thanks for being here again. All right, let me go ahead and get Chrome maximized so that I can move around here. Okay, of course, it's all about deals. Many of you are probably going to not get the show until after the weekend is over, but I am hoping some of you will have downloaded the show in time before you go shopping. If you're looking to go cheap this holidays, and boy, with the economy the way it is, the folks over at tech.yahoo.com have got some pretty good deals listed that if you're looking to go the inexpensive route, they've got some cool stuff. And let me bring up this. D-Link wireless and router, $20. TrendNet Verizon wireless router, $25. Dual band, Newegg has a D-Link DGL 4500 for $130. Printers, hard drives, 1.5 terabyte Seagate Barracuda, $97. That's a great deal. I remember I paid about $100 for a 1 gig. About 6 months ago, so that price point has come down even far. As part of the Thanksgiving weekend, Best Buy has a 20-inch Acer X203H monitor for $80. Of course, there's all kinds of Blu-ray players for sale as well. I've seen it over at Best Buy. So some cheap stuff that you can get on Black Friday, which I hope many of you are either shopping online or on the move. Hey, next article is over on Slashdot. And this is for our UK listeners. The Register is reporting that Virgin Media is about to begin monitoring file sharing using a deep packet inspection system. And the trial is going to cover about 40% of their customers. And if you are a Virgin Media internet user, you'll definitely want to be careful here, because once they find that you're actually a file sharing, they're going to probably be sending you notice. Now, Virgin Media did say, and I don't know if I believe this at all, and why would they do this test if they're actually looking for, you know, basically looking, doing deep packet inspection. Virgin Media said that records will not be kept on individual customers, that data on the level of copyright infringement will be aggregated and anonymized. In other words, they're going to just do a study. I don't know if I believe this for a second, but this is what they're saying here. All right, the hacker McKinnon in the UK, hey, he just lost his final appeal. He says he is to be extradited to the United States for wit and to face charges of hacking. And boy, oh boy. So we'll see what happens here. This is it. It is basically from what I can tell on this article, the Home Secretary rejected the last-ditch attempt to avoid extradition based upon his health. And so he's coming over here to the United States. Well, we'll see if he gets here, and going to the big house, I guess. All right, you know, one thing is true in any, I guess, online world of working within computers. If you're a hacker and you're a good one and you do something notorious, you can almost be guaranteed that you're going to get a job somewhere. Because iPhone Worm author has got a job as an iPhone app developer, 21-year-old Australian Ashley Towns, who's the guy that created the first ever iPhone Worm, got a job at a company that develops iPhone apps, and which is kind of interesting. First of all, most of the time you don't even know the company that has designed an app unless you really go looking. But would it concern you to essentially have an app from a company that was developed by a guy who was an iPhone hacker? I don't know. I guess his employer probably will be keeping a pretty close tabs on him as he's taking up his position over there. But, hack an iPhone, get a job. All right. Hey, we've all been complaining about our iPhones not having flash. Well, news is on the street that Microsoft has been working with Apple, and they're building Silverlight for the iPhone. So that's pretty bold move. Now, Microsoft is saying that they've done all the work, and they made sure that Apple was comfortable with what they had done. And it appears that Silverlight, at some point here, may make its way onto the iPhone, which would be a major coup for Microsoft. Now, I think it would probably completely upset almost the entire online community, because really, Flash is really the experience for streaming. Now, I've played with MP4 streaming, and actually Camtasia allows you to build MP4 files that are designed for streaming. And all it really is, there's really no difference except that there's some encoding in the MP4 file that allows the file to be buffered. Have you ever went to a video website and clicked on a video and you see it downloading, and finally downloads and starts to play? Well, what Microsoft did with the allow streaming on MP4 is they've basically set the protocol up so that it does the same as Flash does. It buffers a little bit and then it starts to play. So this is a interesting move on the Microsoft side of the house, and we'll see what develops with it. But what would you think if your iPhone all of a sudden would stream Silverlight but would not still stream any Flash? I think I would be a little bit perturbed, to be honest with you. All right, Windows 7 has passed Windows 7 has passed Mac OS 10 in market share. Well, we shouldn't be surprised about that at this point because, you know, Vista is selling like, I mean, Windows 7 is selling like gangbusters. And this was only a month-to-month comparison. It wasn't like they looked at the overall. So the title of this article is a little misleading. They didn't actually look at overall utilization. Basically, going on the net and seeing who's coming into your machine. Okay, how many people are actually on Windows 7? How many are coming from Mac? You know, they didn't do anything like that. This was purely based on sales. Windows overall market share obviously still sits at about 92%. And it didn't take Windows 7, I'm stuck on Vista, Windows 7 too long to get a 5% market share, which is just a little bit a little bit over, I think, what the total Mac market share is right now. So we'll see what happens with this, but this should not come as any surprise. I don't know if this was really news worth talking to you guys or not about. All right, over on webdesignledger.com, those of you that are basically getting ready maybe to start a website and put a WordPress blog up, they've got an article here, the best free WordPress themes of 2009. And I was looking through some of these themes, and I don't know how he picked these particular themes, but some of them are pretty nice. I don't know if I would use all of them. There's one or two in here that might be worthy of a look. But I think what happens here is that these web design websites make these top 25 list, and then they essentially promote all their buddies' different types of, their best templates. One word of caution on these free WordPress themes. Some of them I wouldn't call it a payload, but have code in them that load stuff on your page that you may not want. So always take a very close look at any theme that you buy off the shelf and before you actually, install it. You install it, but don't make it active. Go through and look at all the templates and make sure there's no funny business going on. And, look at the source when you put the template actually online, because what happened with one of the templates that I downloaded from one of my websites that was free, it basically had a link farm built into it, and it was pointing back towards this developer's website and getting them, lots of traffic and Google love on me. So be careful out there on those free designs. Not all of them do that, but some do. Let's talk a little bit about Emblaze Mobile. And this made the rounds, and I'm going to put a video up that's by Engadget that you'll be able to check out in the show notes. When you see the video, you're going to be like, whoa, this is cool. This phone would give iPhone a run for the money as far as the way it works. Basically, you have hold it in your hand, and then you use your thumb to rotate the menu items with your thumb, kind of in a up-down motion. And you actually don't push on a specific icon, but you just look for the function, and then you just press with your thumb, and it would make it real easy to use. Now, there's a lot of research going into who this actual company is, where they're based out of. It looks like they may be actually out of Israel. And not a lot of info on the company, and they don't know how legitimate this is, if this is vaporware, but the video looks pretty impressive. And if this phone makes it to market, I think it's going to sell very, very well. So again, it's called Emblaze Mobile is the website, and go over to emblazemobile.com. But anyway, check the video up that I'll have up in the show notes for you. The software designers are always known for leaving Easter eggs in software. Web designers do the same thing from time to time. And I've got an article for you that basically shows you what happens when you have a designer that gets upset, that quits his job and decides to be a little vengeful. Keep the keys to the car. In other words, the keys to your website's pretty close at hand. keep your, you know, because this guy put something into a website that you definitely would not want showing up to your visitors. There's a twit pickup that I think that's kind of funny. There is this over on Costco. It says, this is a sign that's actually up. And those of you that shop at Costco will get a kick out of this. It says on the sign, it says, at present, we are not carrying Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite, or any Coke products. This is because, in our view, Coca-Cola has not provided us with competitive pricing, so we cannot provide the value our members deserve. We apologize for any convenience. And this is under a sign of Pepsi products. if my local Costco doesn't carry Coke, I don't drink Pepsi. So I would have to have a word with the manager. Of course, you know, you can find good soda deals anytime, but I know this is non-techie, but I thought you guys would get a kick out of that. How many of you are Coke drinkers? How many of you are Pepsi drinkers? That's the question of the day. Hey, if you guys comments on anything in the show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. All right, Microsoft is going out and sending out cease and desist letters, actually doing takedown notices to multiple websites. It's hosting a company's computer online forensic evidence extractor. It's a program called Coffee, which helps law enforcement officials grab data from password-protected or encrypted sources. Apparently, this is a software tool that Microsoft doesn't want necessarily to get into the general public's hand, but it has been publicly made available all over the place. And Microsoft's not real happy about it, but that'd be kind of a cool tool to play around with, right? Do a little forensic testing on your own machine. And I'm sure the reason why they don't want this is they don't want the bad guys getting it, so that, you know, the bad guys go through and say, okay, what can people actually find on my machine? So they're being pretty aggressive on the takedowns. Hey, over on Ars Technica, the folks over there have an article up on basically MPAA to FCC announcing that, well, really, they're up to their same tricks. The MPAA is not happy of critics of the video blocking proposals. Hollywood is now resorting, and I'm reading from Ars Technica's website, Hollywood is now resorting to calling critics of its analog stream blocking proposals liars while talking out of both sides of its mouth about DVD encryption and piracy. But the brunt of this accusation, according to public knowledge, still insists that shutting down the output to millions of HD TVs won't benefit consumers. Again, this is about the MPAA wanting to be able to essentially control all the content that's coming into your computer, and that computer into your TV, and make it impossible for you to copy it to your DVR or record it. They basically want to throw a flag on a lot more content that's out there to prevent you from recording it. And now they're basically going out and saying, hey, these folks that are, you know, criticizing are, and those that are blocking the, trying to block the proposals are lying. So it's an interesting, you know, it just shouldn't be surprising to any of us. We should know that the MPAA wants complete control of our lives and what we watch and how we do it, how we consume it. So for them to go to tactics like this is not surprising whatsoever. So anyway, I have the link to this up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. All right. Do you have a Kindle too? Well, if you do, you can get PDF support now if you've been wanting to read PDF documents. So this is very cool. You can now read PDF documents on the Kindle 2, and you can download the new firmware and perform the update over USB. This is not for the first-gen Kindle, sadly. I've got one. I wish they would make it available because there's a lot of PDF files that I would like accessible. But if you have a Kindle 2, you can now get native PDF support. And there's also screen rotation built in, so you can actually flip the screen and read it lengthwise. I don't know why you would want to do that, but I guess some people do. BBC reporting that the court ruling happened earlier this year on MiniNova, a peer-to-peer tracker website, has ended their tracking of torrents, illegal torrents. The Netherlands-based file-sharing website MiniNova has removed all torrents that enable users to download copyright protected material. So another one bites the dust. Of course, while one tracker goes down, 25 more pop back up. So no really word from Mininova on what they on what they're going to do, if they're going to do some of the same things that Pirate Bay did. No word from them yet at this point. All right, over on Business Week, you know, one thing about gadgets is that there's always a few turkeys in amongst the cool ones. And the folks over at Business Week have done a pretty good job here of showing 27 different products and services that were either a good or a turkey. So this might be a great way for you guys to go through and make a few picks if you're getting ready to go out and buy something to strike off your list. And so they've got a pretty good list of stuff here. Anyway, I'll have this link up in the show notes. And this is for those of you that decide you're not going shopping anywhere. Maybe this will give you some online shopping ideas. I did get a little bit of response via email talking about the climate gate. You guys heard about climate gate? It hasn't been reported in the mainstream news very much. But really what has happened here is that some hackers were able to break into the head of the United Nations panel of climate experts, the head of the United Nations climate experts rejected accusations saying that a climate gate row in no way undermines the evidence that humans are to blame for global warming. And this is from evidence obtained from a series of emails written by specialists in the field who very clearly in those emails, they go back as far as 13 years ago, talk about how they were manipulating or trying to make the data look more, I guess for a better word, make things look worse than they were. Now, I'm not going to say that there isn't global warming, that there's any issue, okay? I'm not going to say that we're not causing problems, okay? We can all do things better. But if you go through and actually look at the data that was basically released and put online by these hackers, there's some evidence or there's some information in there that should make a lot of us really open our eyeballs and go, whoa. Clear manipulation of temperature readings that were all reported on the high side in lieu of data that was, for a better word, was evidence that it wasn't actually, temperatures weren't actually that high. So the group that it was stolen from are not reporting that this was, that the information's false. But there's some pretty good ones in that stack. Now, you know, when they go in and take this much data, there's surely to be a few red herrings in there that they're going to find. And I'm sure amongst all that content, there's a lot more that supports, the issue at hand. But anyway, they're calling this thing Climate Gate. It's invoked a reaction by one senator who's basically said to the organization, don't delete any of your emails. He wants to do an investigation. I doubt that the current administration will allow that to happen. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with this information. And it definitely doesn't help these guys when they're actually going through and in emails back and forth saying that they're manipulating the reporting data. And I don't know. You know, what do you guys think? You know, what do you guys think about this? And have you seen any of the information? Have you looked at any of the actual emails? So CNET has a series of them up online. You can go back and you can read some of them that CNET has picked out to review. I'm going to have a number of articles linking to Black Friday, which is starts very early tomorrow morning. And for some of you, has probably already started. And, again, more deals out there. All right, Godfather Spam sentenced to 4 years in prison. Alan Rowski, the man of the Fed's nicknamed the Godfather of Spam, was sentenced to 51 months in prison for his part in a stock fraud and spamming scheme. Three other people were sentenced as well. So this guy, West Bloomfield, Michigan, sentenced to 51 months in prison for conspiracy to commit wire fraud. So nice to see the king of the spammer in the slammer. His next article is basically the folks over at Verizon are telling Sprint, hey, you're not the most reliable 3G network out there. We're questioning that. And, you know, I have to question Verizon on this. And by the way, where is it? It's actually on the floor. I can't reach it. I got my new 3G/4G EVDO card from Sprint. Haven't got it turned on yet. I'll probably do that tomorrow. But as you know, I've been using a Verizon and a Sprint EVDO card, and I can tell you without a doubt, Sprint wins for speed, reliability, connectivity, staying online the most time. Sprint wins hands down. You guys know I travel all over the place. No way, no how are they faster. It's not the case. And from everywhere I go, into big cities to small, Sprint has the best coverage, the best speed, the most 3G. I don't agree with Verizon's comments here that they are, they're more reliable. I don't agree with it, not based upon my experience. You know, what do you guys see? You know, what are you guys using out there? You know, are you using a Verizon card? Are you using AT&T? Are you using Sprint? Are you using a local phone provider? A company here in Hawaii called Mobi is giving unlimited 3G, which is pretty cool, to people that don't need to leave the state and need a wireless card. At a pretty good price, $29 or something like that. So, but what's your experience with your cards? Is your EVDO cards or your built-in EVDO that's inside your computers? Love to hear from you, geeknews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. All right, the Mac users, boy oh boy, they've been really trying to take Microsoft to task. What's happening is that Microsoft partnered with Saks Fifth Avenue to put video displays hooked up to computers in the department store's windows for the holiday season. And some of them are hooked up to Twitter. So, of course, the Mac crowd was like, Twitter stream, let's go ahead and hack the hashtag. And they were going, I guess, after the hashtag in a big way. There is some controversy, though, on whether or not Microsoft actually is hyping how much hacking is going on or not, but there has been some level of attempt, at least, by Mac users to foil Microsoft's window display at Saks and Fifth Avenue. So I'm sure what's going to happen now that this has been published is it's going to get worse. You know, if Microsoft would have just kept it on the radar, probably a few people would have found out. But they put filters in, and there's all kinds of stuff going on to try to keep the Mac users from hijacking this stream. If there's anybody in New York that's down shopping tomorrow, and you walk by Saks, make sure you go to the window and take a peek, and let me know. Call into the voicemail hotline, and we'll play it on the next show. We'll find out what's really going on. Here in the New York Times, we talked about the guy, Rom Hoban, who's a Belgian man who spent the 23 years in a coma. We talked about him in the last couple shows, I think. And reporters have descended upon this gentleman's hospital. And what's really ended up happening here is there's some skeptics out there that are saying, hey, this is a little funny what's going on. Because as I was reading through the story, he has an assistant who assists him in basically writing. And some skeptics out there have said that his assistant is the person doing the actual writing. What has been reported by the doctor, here's what one person said. I cannot understand how anyone, professional, medical, personal, layman, can continue to believe that this farce known as facilitated communication represents anything other than a fantasy that was begun back in 1977 when an Australian woman named Rosemary Crossley came up with the idea that autistic persons could express their thoughts via a keyboard and when their hand was supported by what she called a facilitator. But the doctor has said that he was doubtful initially as well. He says the spectacle is so incredible that even Stephen Lowry, the neurologist who discovered Mr. Hoban's potential, had doubts about its authenticity. He decided to put it to the test. I showed him object when I was alone with him in the room, and then later with his aid, he was able to give the right answers. The professor said, Professor Lowry said, it is true. So I don't know if this is 100% truth, but, here's, the potentially a gentleman who is now finally able to communicate after people thought he has been essentially left for dead and in a coma. And now there's critics out there saying this is fake. So I'm sure they'll get to the bottom of this real quick, but it's just sad that this controversy has had to pop up in the first place. But we'll see. All right, I hate to say it, but there are some folks out there that might need some psychiatric help. And I don't know where, I guess this guy lives in Tokyo. He has married a video game character. I'm troubled here a little bit by this. I guess this was the nuptials were broadcast on a Japanese video sharing site called Nico Nico Doga, a place where many strange things occur. And but I don't get it. I think only in Japan. I showed my wife this, and she's just like, well, what, her words was gross. That was what she said, gross. And, but yeah, marries a video game character. Whew, that must be he doesn't have to worry about the character talking back or telling him to take out the trash or quit playing a video game. Oh, my goodness. All right. Apple has moved to dismiss the SciStar Florida case. Obviously, with their big win in California, they're going to go right in and try to get an injunction to get get SciStar shut down completely. And we'll see what happens there. Hey, I do need a little assistance from the Ohana. I've got a Canon Rebel, and I've been watching all the circulars that have been coming here, and I've been looking online. I'm looking for a company that's doing sales for Canon lenses. I got a specific lens I'm looking for that I want to buy. But if you see any companies on the net that you know that you can vouch for that are good, that are having some good holiday sales for camera lenses for Canon, basically they're all interchangeable. Most of the big bodies on Canons are. But I got a Canon Rebel. I'm looking for a... I'm not looking for their cheapy lenses, probably their gold label lens, maybe even a red stripe too. Just depends on whatever I can find. But if you know of any good sales, let me know. If you're wanting to buy some point and clicks, I have some links for you in the show notes as well and some good point and clicks that are going to be on sale the next week. How many of you have used the video streaming site Juiced? If you have and you've got content over there, you better get it moved. It doesn't look very good for them. Juiced is struggling to stay on stream. They've sold off some of their assets to some other companies, and this is not a good sign. I've never used their particular streaming service, so we'll see what happens with this. But they're struggling in a big way, and I found this link to that over on Blog World. All right, coolest thing that I've been playing with the last couple of days, and I just had to do it. I found an article on it on Friday, is how to run Chrome OS from a USB drive. Got to do it. I ran right over to the website that had the build. I downloaded it. I followed the instructions. I had to do it via BitTorrent. It's available as a torrent. Doesn't take too long to get it downloaded. Got it installed. Basically went in and made sure that my computer was set to, look for USB as a boot device, and boom, man, it loaded in like, I'm not kidding you, 15 seconds from the time the machine looked at the boot drive, it was up and running. Very cool stuff. So if you want to give a Chrome OS a test drive from a USB drive, this is pretty simple stuff, okay? and you just put it on a USB stick. And the biggest thing is you just got to make sure that your machine can boot from the USB. And so you got to follow the steps and instructions on how to do that. But very cool stuff. And I have the link up to this in the show notes. And when you guys get it up and get it working, let me know what you think about it. I definitely liked it. It was a very, 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 very cool feature here. Okay, let's go back and talk a little bit about the International Space Station. The space shuttle Atlantis on dock from the International Space Station on Wednesday. They are going to have a very early morning Eastern Standard Time. I guess 11, well, they have some landing opportunities at 9:44, a second one at 11:19 Eastern. I haven't heard about the weather at Kennedy yet, but if you don't go out and shop for Black Friday, you can watch the landing. Very few left, so you know, this might be your chance, or DVR it. But they're headed home after a very successful mission at the International Space Station. All right, you got a jailbroken iPhone, and you want to find out whether or not you want to get an app that's been rejected from the App Store. There's a website for that, so now you can go and get. You get a list of all the apps that have been rejected and probably made available that you can actually load to your machine. So, you know, if you want to be, if you want to play, you know, basically thumb your nose at Apple, you can do so. So I have that link up in the show notes. Russia is saying no space for space tourists, with the International Space Station population growing to 6. There's currently no room for tourists in the Russian spacecraft. And so this is going to go on for, a long time. Canadian Cirque du Soleil founder Gary Labrate, I probably just destroyed his name, was really the last space tourist for a while. So, of course, the United States is going to be paying Russia to do most of the lifting of people back and forth, well, the only lifting of people back and forth for the coming next couple of years, as the space shuttle winds down and they have to get their new lift capability up online. A number of you sent me Google your Google Wave account emails, and as I said, I've got a Geekness Central Wave going. Many of you have said, I don't get it, and to be honest with you, it really took me a while to get it, and there's a lot of noise, but on Google Wave, if you... essentially, if you can have a group of people in a wave that is a focused conversation, it's pretty handy, and it keeps a pretty good record of what was said. The only thing I don't like about Google Wave right now is if you add someone by mistake to a wave, you can't delete them. You can't delete waves, really. That makes them very hard to actually delete a complete wave. And by being a wave, I see it's like a conversation point. Over on the folks at TechCrunch have put a blog post up on why Google Wave sucks and why you would use it anyway. And I talk a little bit about it. There's a pretty good video here. If those of you that have not seen it or haven't got an invite yet, I'm out of invites. So I don't have any invites to give. We'll see if they add any more. But if you want to see what it's all about, definitely check it out. You know, it's basically good for real-time collaboration, better than instant messaging, because, you know, not everyone's in the conversation at the same time. Someone might be out, but yet they can come back and replay the conversation and kind of get caught up to speed, and you don't have to backfill them on any type of a, you know, textual type of instant messaging type thing back and forth. So that's what we're doing at Raw Voice. We're using it as a basically kind of a way to keep track of conversations going on amongst the group, which is pretty cool. So long as I don't add any more. Actually, one of the listeners of the show got added to one of our our board meetings, so he was nice enough to delete his portion of the wave and not review it. So appreciate him doing that, but it's just me being a knucklehead. Ever thought about zip codes and how they're laid out? Well, somebody put together a scribble map of zip codes, and this is pretty cool. You have no idea what the boundaries of zip codes are, and you're driving along, you're in an area, and all of a sudden just switches. You just have no idea what the rhyme or reason to how zip codes are laid out. But the folks over at EagerEyes.org basically made a scribble map, basically shows you how zip codes are laid out. And I thought it was pretty cool what they've been able to come up with. And you may have a little bit of a hard time following it, but definitely check it out, because it gives you an idea on really how it doesn't give the actual zip code either, but it does show you how they broke down and how they actually came up with it in the first place. It looks to me like somebody just sit down with a map and started drawing squares and squiggly lines and triangles. And hey, I want to talk a little bit about an article Mark Cuban put up on his website yesterday. It says, how to jumpstart the economy and create millions of jobs. And he's been putting a lot of stuff out here recently. And I like his ideas on small business. You know, really small businesses that are like mine, like Raw Voice. You know, we're working really hard. But boy, you know, just the reporting and tax requirements and everything that we have to do to be a legal company is it's just really a pain. And he basically says, hey, you know, these small businesses, you know, the return on the amount of tax dollars the government actually gets is very small. He says, just, you know, eliminate no taxes or license fees of any kind on small businesses with 25 or fewer employees. Well, that's all good and well until, you know, you're the IBM of the world and say, okay, let's make 500 or 1,000 or 10,000, 25 employee subsidiaries. Anyway, he's got some cool ideas about jumpstarting the economy. But anyway, I have that link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. What else have I got here for you? Oh, you guys got to check this video out. There's a television show called Top Gear. And it's a British television show, I guess, that they basically have to build something. You know, it's just like one of these reality shows where you're told, okay, build a giant popcorn popper in 24 hours. Well, the latest challenge they've had on Top Gear is called the Hammerhead Eagle. It's an iThrust electrical car. And you just got to watch the YouTube video. It's about 5 minutes long. They did a pretty amazing job, but I don't know if I would want to ride in this thing. It's or be in a crash with it. I think you guys will get a kick out of it. It's something that you would expect from to see on the street somewhere else. But they did actually some speed trials with it. It's an electric car, and it goes through the challenges that they had to put this thing together. So it was a pretty cool video. I have the link up. I'll give you you can check it out. Hey, remember we talked several months ago about the Japanese have basically come up with an exoskeleton. They call it a robo-suit, but I call it an exoskeleton because basically it's a robotic outfit that you wear, and it gives you better balance, better lifting power. They were basically demonstrating the lift capability of, basically how much extra you can carry with this and some of the features. Pretty cool. It definitely would if you're in a manual labor job, you get a little assist from the robot in moving stuff. And I know that people that have to lift baggage, you know, instead of, you know, throwing your bag halfway up the little elevator on the airplane, they would just, you know, with this thing, they would just toss it into the airplane. So, you know, not only would your luggage your stuff inside get broke, but you now would get impact dents from when they hit the other side of the aircraft with this. But that's just, you know, just an example of people that would actually benefit from wearing one of these things. But I have the link up for you in the show notes. All right, I don't know if anybody, lots of people on Ustream, but no one in the chat. I just took a peek. What are you guys doing? No one's logged in to talk to me. Hey, on Gizmodo, you know, there is a lot of bad deals out there. Be careful what you're buying, especially when it comes to LCD TVs. And they got a good list of stuff to stay away from as you're shopping this weekend. Also, I'd like to hear about your guys' Thanksgiving tech support horror stories. you know, you went to grandma's house or the auntie's house for Thanksgiving, and they said, oh, you're my resident geek. Can you check my computer out? I've been, you know, an online poker site. It's been, I've been playing it. All of a sudden, when I, you know, knocked the computer, my mouse is moving by itself. Yeah. Did any of you get any of those Thanksgiving tech support horror stories? Did you? I want to hear from about your tech support calls. I know all of you that go visit family members, and if you're the resident geek, they're always, hey, come on, can you look at my computer? And then you spend 3 hours cleaning their virus and malware-ridden machine. I know you all have done that, to listen to the show. I know you're all geek. I know you've had to do this. So geeknews@gmail.com, send me your Thanksgiving tech support horror stories, okay? I want to hear about it. All right, last few articles here. We talked about Windows 8 maybe coming in 2012, but there's some speculation now. The person that made the rumor may not even exist. And the information that was put out online may be someone's made-up fantasy. Microsoft isn't saying, but, you know, Windows 8, they're talking about going to 128-bit architecture. And that's quite a jump, going from 64 to 128 in 3 years, considering where we're at in processors as well. So anyone work at Microsoft know a guy over there by the name of Robert Morgan? Now, we're all on the lookout for this guy. No one seems to know. His LinkedIn page went away, or his supposed LinkedIn page went away. But let us know if anybody knows that guy over there at Microsoft. Hey, did you know Bing does video? Over on researchbuzz.org, Bing has videos as well. So you just go bing.com/videos, and you're going to find videos from Microsoft, also from places like ABC, Hulu, YouTube. You may see some editor picks, hot clips, what was on TV last night. There's stuff for you do a variety of searches on there as well. And it brings up different videos on different topics from a variety of sources. So bing.com/videos, you'll find it. Of course, I have a link to it in the show notes. If you really been wanting a Mac, man, oh, man, prices are just being slashed like crazy. Authorized resellers have really dumped the prices for this upcoming weekend sale. So steep discounts as much as $300 on like the 2.8 gigahertz 15-inch MacBook Pro. Original price, actually just, you know, dropped to $300 and dropped $300. You can pick it up now from like Best Buy at $2,099. Apple Store is $22.99. So don't go to the Apple Store. Go to B&H, Best Buy, go to Club Mac, go to Mac Mall, Amazon. All those places have great discounts on that stuff for Mac products. Okay, if you're watching the show right now on Ustream, hey, Ustream brings us viewer to app to Android, so you can watch the show via your Android phone. And so they've got a viewer app on Android, so definitely download that plugin and watch your favorite Ustream streams via your mobile device. Hey, I want to thank the folks over at iptvshows.org for the nice write-up of what's going on here at GNC. Very cool stuff. And my studio doesn't look as cool as Leo's does. Leo's has got a little more flavor, but he's got a bigger room to work from than I do. But anyway, you guys can check out the iptvshows.org article. It talks about what we're doing here in on our video side. All right, let me go ahead and bounce into voicemails. I've got three. And haven't previewed these, so we'll see what we've got. Actually, what I need to do is, like a knucklehead, I don't have this thing plugged in. Let me plug the audio in. Because those of you that are listening to the audio portion, you don't know it because I fixed the audio. But when I played the intro tonight, it went through my microphone instead of through the patch panel. But not good for the voicemail. So let's go ahead and play the first voicemail, and then we'll get into the email comments real quick. I got three of them. We'll just bounce through these and commentary, of course. Here we go.
Hey, Todd. This is Dave here from Jackson, Michigan.
Hey, Dave.
And I was just watching your show and wanted to comment a little bit about your little iPhone ideas you had for web apps and stuff like that. And the App Store is kind of really getting crowded with a lot of applications that are nothing more than websites in a Safari browser that are basically in the App Store. And now that they're limiting a lot of the private APIs and stuff, it's kind of making iPhone applications a lot more simple or a lot dumber than they could possibly be. So I think it would be good to maybe section out some of those just Safari-based apps and make them more of like a web version of the App Store. So they could be in there, but they just add a bookmark to your desktop or on your iPhone. That'd be kind of cool. And I'd like to see Apple open up the API a little more. You know, Android's really going to take Apple's lunch if they keep that up. I just wanted to leave my comments. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Love the show.
Hey, thanks for that. I appreciate it. And yeah, yes, I think you're right. I think that's maybe the approach. You know, with 100,000 apps, you know, how do you find stuff now? And I think the web-based stuff is smart. Those of you that have been watching on the video stream, you guys got to see the ad on the bottom third, the entire show. That was nice. I apologize about that. But when you're a one-man show doing the switching, sometimes that stuff slips by you. Thanks, Dave, for calling again. And good luck with your stuff that's going on there. I know that you got some stuff cooking, so keep us advised on how you're doing, too. Let me go ahead and play the next voicemail.
Hey, Todd. It's Tom calling from Chicago.
Hey, Tom.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Hey.
I hope you guys had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thanks.
Hey, I have two comments for you. First, regarding Google OS, I can see using an application like that on some kind of netbook in which I can use an application like Go to My PC, which I use all the time. My laptop has pretty much become my netbook. I don't use anything else on that other than the web browser to getting into my office computer, and that seems to work real good. So get to the point where you get so damn tired of having to pay Microsoft for every Word application installation, Excel, all that stuff, and when all your files are in one place in your office, that's really the way to do it. So that's my two cents on that. I can, not that I'm going to get it, but I think that's the way to go, and it seems to work for me. The other thing was regarding Pandora. Yeah, Pandora is, I'm not sure why that's so popular. My wife uses that. I use it on occasion, and it's kind of neat because it's basically it's just a radio in songs based on whatever your listening criteria is. So I don't know, maybe that kind of business model can be applied to podcasting to some degree, and maybe it already is. But yeah, 13 million download applications for Pandora is quite impressive, and it works. When I first signed up for it, it was pretty much ad free. Now, unfortunately, they've got to pay for their business model, and you see more advertising and whatnot. But it's tolerable. It's not too bad. So. Anyway, that's just my two cents. Hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving again. Thanks for doing the show, and we'll chat with you in December. All right, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for that, and I appreciate your call. And, yeah, very cool stuff. Lots of stuff going on. Thanks for the information on Pandora and the other comments as well. And I hope your family had a great Thanksgiving as well. I think we're actually going to be coming out to Chicago to have our annual meeting. We're actually going to be holed up in a hotel there sometime probably in February. We're actually going to come out and we go somewhere where it's no fun when it's cold. You don't want to go out and so that we get plenty of work done. So I think that's where Raw Voice is going to have their retreat again. Is in Chicago. It's a nice central location to be able to fly into for the entire team. I can get there in 9 hours direct flight from Honolulu. And so it makes it a good fit. All right, let me go ahead and get into the final audio comment. You know what happened was I refreshed the stream and now I'm seeing all kinds of chat stuff. So I guess there was stuff going on in chat. We'll get caught up with the chat at the end of the show. Here comes the last and final voicemail tonight, and then we'll get into a few emails that have come in as well.
Hey, Todd. Brian here in Brooklyn.
Hey.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, you too.
I'm calling in defense of the Toddism.
Oh, you are?
You recently had a caller who was busting your chops about some mispronunciations.
All the time.
Hey, Todd, it's Sal out of New York. It's ASUS. It's ASUS. Not ASUS. Not ASUS. Killing me, man. It also also make you sound a lot more intelligent.
Upon further investigation, it seems he may have been trying to sabotage you.
Oh, he was.
Thank you for calling us, Zeus. Thank you for calling us, Zeus. Thank you for calling us, Zeus. We are closed in observance of the holiday. Hello, you've reached a Zeus. Hello, you've reached a Zeus.
Unless that lady that works the phones there at ASUS has been using some salisms herself. You know, they're all okay to me, as long as we know what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
You know? But I don't think we need to be judging one's intelligence based on how one pronounces an acronym for some strange Chinese company. You know, for that matter, in your defense, a lot of your mishaps are acronyms or some odd, just-invented tech term. They're certainly not established everyday words
That's
in the
true.
English language, are they?
That's right.
I mean, it's not exactly like ASUS or ASUS is in the Oxford English Dictionary or Drupal or Twitter or Symantec. So you need to get out of Midtown, man. You know, out here where I am in Brooklyn, if you pronounce everything correctly, you won't get served. Because these guys here, they do goggle switches. You know what I mean? For the X on the web. Looking for their girlfriends on the Twitter. All right. Happy holiday.
And you know, one of my friends, his wife calls Skype Skippy. Yeah. Steve's always call me on Skippy. I love Skippy. It's a great program. Skippy's great. So, you know, hey, you know, it's the way it is. Okay, let's go ahead and get a few emails read here. Thanks for that. That just cheered me up, made my day. It really, really did. Call more often, man. That was funny. Kept me smiling all the way through. I got an email from Frank. He says, hey, this article contains serious reflections on the reporting of science news, which is worthwhile reading for all consumers of science news. Here are some scholarships on recent developments in the science of global warming. They're all from the same site but have different authors. Basically, Frank goes on to say, the fuss over a few person's emails is a tempest in a teapot. It provides some neat ad hominem arguments, and ad hominem is all the global warming skeptics have left, that and their investment in fossil fuel stocks. But it was an argument over packaging, not over the contents of the package. It makes a few persons look bad, just as if a leaked locker room conversation from a football team at halftime could make a few footballers look bad. But it doesn't impeach the science. So Frank has sent me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 links to everything about global warming, and we'll be sure to put those all up for you guys' reading pleasure. Thanks, Frank, for sending those over. I knew that article would get a few emails, and it sure did. Got an email from Jorn, and Jorn, I apologize if I have mispronounced your name here. Be careful. He actually says in his email, don't be careful. Don't get your tongue in a twist. And he gives me a little wink. He says, hey, Todd, I heard you talk about the Drobo, and why would anyone have to? I think the reason for that is that you can connect two Drobos to the Drobo Share. It can use all your old SATA drives laying around. Total price of two Drobos plus Drobo Share, external hard drives, etc., $1,027. The speed of these Drobos are not really that good. Drobo with four drives is 20.1 megs per second. Drobo S with five drives, 70 megs per second. Drobo 8 drives, 70 megs per second read and 60 meg write. Drobo Elite 8 unknown. But there's a much cheaper RAID solution by LimeTacTechnology.com. The sales talk, Unraid server is a network-attached storage operating system designed from boot from a USB flash device and specifically designed for digital media storage, digital video, music, and photos. It's got a unique RAID system. I've been using it for about a year now, and I love it. Just put some old hardware together, stick in a USB thumb drive with the Unraid software, and it runs. I now have 11 drives in a system that has about 6 terabytes of storage for less than the cost of a Drobo Pro without drives. It's not as sexy as a Drobo, and you cannot hotspot drives, but it does give you a lot more value and flexibility. Check it out. If you have a bunch of old hard drives, which I do, I got a stack, lying around, and you want to put them to good use, try this. The only drawback, it's Linux-based, but not free. Yeah, that's going to raise a few eyebrows. Standard is max 3 drives plus a $69 6 drives. Pro, $99 for max 16 drives. Thanks for always listening to it in my car on the way to work. Thanks, Jorn, for calling. And Jorn is in the Netherlands. And a big aloha to you, Jorn, for that email. Again, I'll have this link up in the show notes. It's at LimeTechTechnology.com is where the Unraid server is. Got an email from Trucker Tom. New map suggests Mars was wet and humid. He gives me a link to that. I have that in the show notes. It's basically a new detailed map of Mars shows what was likely a vast ocean in north and valleys around the equator, suggesting a planet once had a humid, rainy climate, according to research published Monday. It was probably before global warming happened there, Trucker Tom, and before the planet fried and all the inhabitants on it got smoke checked by solar radiation, don't you think? I just had to throw that in there. I really, really did. I think, is that it? Is that all for tonight? That's it. Oh, I got an email from, no, that's it. Just a few emails, not to be expected. Everyone's on holiday. And as always, we went long, but it's okay. Hey, everyone, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline, +1-619-342-7365, +1-619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure bringing this show. Everyone, I hope you had a great turkey day. Have fun shopping. If you do it by your computer, you can do it in your pajamas. You don't have to go out and fight the crowds and be worried about being rolled over and mobbed and fighting over the little smallest pieces of gear. Hey, we'll do maybe do something over the weekend. Maybe I'll be up live a little bit from time to time when I have time, and maybe we'll do a little bit of testing of the Skypesaurus 1/2 here. So anyway, that's it, folks. Everyone take care. And aloha. Thanks for hanging out with me. We'll see you from Texas for a live show that'll be probably relatively early in consideration of when I normally record. So keep an eye out on Twitter and Facebook, and I'll announce when we're live. And, of course, just visit geeknewscentral.com and click on the live page, and you'll see me there. All right, that's it. Everyone take care, and we'll see you next time around. Aloha.